15. Brightness radiant. I will express only direct, even brutal truth. You must know what I have done and what those actions cost me. From Oathbringer, Preface. Bright Lord Peril's body was found in the same area as Sadeus's, Shallan said, pacing back and forth in her room as she flipped through pages of the report. That can't be a coincidence. This tower is far too big. So we know where the murderer is prowling.
Yeah, I suppose, Adolin said.
He lounged with his back against the wall, coat unbuttoned, while tossing a small leather ball filled with dried grain into the air and catching it again.
I just think the murders could have been done by two different people.
Same exact method of murder, Shallan said. Body positioned the same way.
Nothing else connecting them, Adolin said. Sadeus was slime, widely hated, and usually accompanied by guards. Peril was quiet, well-liked, and known for his administrative prowess. He was less a soldier than a manager.
The sun had fully set by now, and they'd set out spheres on the floor for light. The remnants of their meal had been carted away by a servant, and Pattern hummed happily on the wall near Adolin's head. Adolin glanced at him occasionally, looking uncomfortable, which she fully understood. She'd grown used to Pattern, but his lines were strange. Wait until Adolin sees a cryptic in Shadesmar form, she thought, with a full body but twisting shapes for his head. Adolin tossed the little stitched ball into the air and caught it with his right hand, the one that Renarin amazingly had healed. She wasn't the only one practicing with her powers. She was especially glad someone else had a shard blade now. When the high storms returned, and they began working the Oath Gate in earnest, she'd have help. These reports, Shallan said, tapping the notebook against her hand, are both informative and useless. Nothing connects Peril and Sadeus, save their both being light eyes, that and the part of the tower they were in. Perhaps mere opportunity drove the killer's choice of victims.
You're saying someone happened to kill a High Prince? Adolin said. By accident? Like a back-alley murder outside a pub?
Maybe. Brightness Aladar suggests in here that your father lay down some rules on people moving alone through empty parts of the tower.
I still think there might be two murderers, Adolin said. You know, like someone saw Sadeus dead and figured they could get away with killing someone else, blaming it on the first fellow.
Oh, Adolin, Shallan thought. He'd arrived at a theory he liked, and now wouldn't let it go. It was a common mistake, warned of in her scientific books. Adolin did have one point. A high prince being murdered was unlikely to be random chance. There were no signs of Sadeus's shard blade, Oathbringer, being used by anyone, not even a rumor of it. Maybe the second death is a kind of decoy, Shallan thought, riffling through the report again. An attempt to make it seem like random attacks? No, that was too convoluted, and she had no more evidence for it than Adolin had for his theory. That did leave her thinking. Maybe everyone was paying attention to these two deaths because they'd happened to important light eyes. Could there be other deaths they hadn't noticed because they'd happened to less prominent individuals? If a beggar had been found in Adolin's proverbial back alley behind a pub, would anyone have remarked upon it, even if he'd been stabbed through the eye? I need to get out there among them and see what I can find. She opened her mouth to tell him she should probably turn in, but he was already standing, stretching.
I think we've done what we can with that, he said, nodding toward the report. At least for tonight.
Yeah, Shallan said, feigning a yawn. Probably.
So, Adolin said, then took a deep breath. There's something else.
Shallan frowned. Something else?
Why did he suddenly look like he was preparing to do something difficult? He's going to break off our betrothal, a part of her mind thought, though she pounced on that emotion and shoved it back behind the curtains where it belonged.
Okay. This isn't easy, Adolin said. I don't want to offend Shallan, but you know how I had you eat that man's food?
Yes. If my tongue is particularly spicy in the coming days, I blame you.
Shallan, there's something similar that we need to talk about. Something about you we can't just ignore.
I killed my parents. I stabbed my mother through the chest and I strangled my father while singing to him.
You, Adolin said, have a shard blade.
I didn't want to kill her. I had to. I had to.
Adolin grabbed her by the shoulders and she started, focusing on him. He was grinning.
You have a shard blade, Shallan! A new one! That's incredible! I dreamed for years of earning my blade. So many men spend their lives with that very dream and never see it fulfilled. And here you have one.
And that's a good thing, right? She said, held in his grip with arms pulled tight against her body.
Of course it is, Adolin said, letting go of her. But, I mean, you're a woman.
Was it the makeup that tipped you off? Or the dress? Oh, it was the breasts, wasn't it? Always giving us away.
Shallan, this is serious.
I know, she said, calming her nerves. Yes. Pattern can become a shard blade, Adolin. I don't see what this has to do with anything. I can't give it away. Stormfather, you want to teach me how to use it, don't you?
He grinned.
You said that Jasnah was a Radiant, too. Women. Gaining shard blades. It's weird, but it's not like we can ignore it. What about plate? Do you have that hidden somewhere, too?
Not that I know of, she said. Her heart was beating quickly, her skin growing cold, her muscles tense. She fought against the sensation. I don't know where plate comes from.
I know it's not feminine, but who cares? You've got a sword. You should know how to use it. And custom can go to damnation. There, I said it.
He took a deep breath.
I mean, the bridge boy can have one, and he's dark-eyed.
Well, he was. Anyway, it's not so different from that.
Thank you, Shallan thought. For ranking all women as something equivalent to peasants.
But she held her tongue.
This was obviously an important moment for Adolin, and he was trying to be broad-minded. But thinking of what she'd done pained her. Holding the weapon would be worse. So much worse.
She wanted to hide, but she couldn't. This truth refused to budge from her mind. Could she explain?
So, you're right, but...
Great, Adolin said. Great. I brought the blade guards so we won't hurt each other. I stashed them back at the guard post. I'll go fetch them.
He was out the door a moment later. Shallan stood with her hand stretched toward him, objections dying on her lips. She curled her fingers up and brought her hand to her breast, her heart thundering within.
Pattern said. This is good. This needs to be done.
Shallan scrambled through the room to the small mirror she'd hung from the wall. She stared at herself, eyes wide, hair an utter mess. She'd started breathing in sharp, quick gasps.
I can't, she said. I can't be this person, Pattern. I can't just wield the sword. Some brilliant knight on a tower pretending she should be followed.
Pattern hummed softly a tone she'd come to recognize as confusion, the bewilderment of one species trying to comprehend the mind of another. Sweat trickled down Shallan's face, running beside her eye as she stared at herself.
What did she expect to see? The thought of breaking down in front of Adolin heightened her tension. Her every muscle grew taut, and the corners of her vision started to darken. She could see only before herself, and she wanted to run, go somewhere, be away. No, no, just be someone else. Hands shaking, she scrambled over and dug out her drawing pad. She ripped pages, flinging them out of the way to reach an empty one, then seized her charcoal pencil. Pattern moved over to her, a floating ball of shifting lines, buzzing in concern.
Shallan, please, what is wrong?
I can hide, Shallan thought, drawing at a frenzied pace. Shallan can flee and leave someone in her place.
It's because you hate me, Pattern said softly. I can die, Shallan. I can go. They will send you another to bond.
A high-pitched whine started to rise in the room, one Shallan didn't immediately recognize as coming from the back of her own throat. Pattern's words were like knives to her side. No, please, just draw. Vale. Vale would be fine holding a sword. She didn't have Shallan's broken soul and hadn't killed her parents. She'd be able to do this. No. No, what would Adolin do if he returned and found a completely different woman in the room? He couldn't know of Vale. The lines she sketched, ragged and unrefined from the shaking pencil, quickly took the shape of her own face. But hair in a bun. A poised woman. Not as flighty as Shallan. Not as unintentionally silly. A woman who hadn't been sheltered. A woman hard enough, strong enough to wield this sword. A woman like Jasnah. Yes, Jasnah's subtle smile, composure, and self-confidence. Shallan outlined her own face with these ideals, creating a harder version of it. Could she be this woman? I have to be, Shallan thought, drawing in stormlight from her satchel, then breathing it out in a puff around her. She stood up as the change took hold. Her heartbeat slowed, and she wiped the sweat from her brow, then calmly undid her safe hand sleeve, tossed aside the foolish extra pouch she'd tied around her hand inside, then rolled the sleeve back to expose her still gloved hand. Good enough. Adolin couldn't possibly expect her to put on sparring clothing. She pulled her hair back into a bun and fixed it in place with hair spikes from her satchel. When Adolin returned to the room a moment later, he found a poised, calm woman who wasn't quite Shallan Devar. Brightness Radiant is her name, she thought. She will go only by title. Adolin carried two long, thin pieces of metal that somehow could meld to the front of shard blades and make them less dangerous for use in sparring. Radiant inspected them with a critical eye, then held her hand to the side, summoning Pattern. The blade formed, a long, thin weapon nearly as tall as she was. Pattern, she said, can modulate his shape, and will dull his edge to safe levels. I shan't need such a clunky device. Indeed, Pattern's edge rippled. Dulling.
Storms, that's handy. I'll still need one, though.
Adolin summoned his own blade, a process that took him 10 heartbeats, during which he turned his head, looking at her. Shallan glanced down, realizing that she'd enhanced her bust in this guise. Not for him, of course. She'd just been making herself look more like Jasnah. Adolin's sword finally appeared, with a thicker blade than her own, sinuous along the sharp edge, with delicate crystalline ridges along the back. He put one of the guards on the sword's edge. Radiant put one foot forward, blade lifted high in two hands beside her head.
Hey, Adolin said. That's not bad.
Shallan did spend quite a lot of time drawing you all. Adolin nodded thoughtfully. He approached and reached toward her with a thumb and two fingers.
She thought he was going to adjust her grip, but instead he pressed his fingers against her collarbone and shoved lightly. Radiant stumbled backward, almost tripping. "A stance," Adolin said, "is about more than just looking great on the battlefield. It's about footing, center of balance, and control of the fight."
"Noted. So how do I make it better?"
"I'm trying to decide. Everyone I've worked with before had been using a sword since their youth. I'm wondering how Zael would have changed my training if I'd never even picked up a weapon."
"From what I've heard of him," Radiant said, "it will depend on whether there are any convenient rooftops nearby to jump off."
"That's how he trained with plate," Adolin said. "This is blade. Should I teach you dueling? Or should I teach you how to fight in an army?"
"I shall settle," Radiant said, "for knowing how to avoid cutting off any of my own appendages, Bright Lord Colin."
"Bright Lord Colin?"
"Too formal. Right. That was how Radiant would act, of course. But she could allow herself some familiarity. Yasna had done that."
"I was merely," Radiant said, "attempting to show the respect due a master from his humble pupil." Adolin chuckled. "Please, we don't need that. But here, let's see what we can do about that stance."
Over the next hour, Adolin positioned her hands, her feet, and her arms a dozen times over. He picked a basic stance for her that she could eventually adapt into several of the formal stances, the ones like wind stance, which Adolin said wouldn't rely on strength or reach as much as mobility and skill. She wasn't certain why he'd bothered fetching the metal sparring sleeves, as the two of them didn't exchange any blows. Other than correcting her stance 10,000 times, he spoke about the art of the duel, how to treat your shard blade, how to think of an opponent, how to show respect to the institutions and traditions of the duel itself. Some of it was very practical. Shard blades were dangerous weapons, which explained the demonstrations on how to hold hers, how to walk with it, how to take care not to slice people or things while casually turning. Other parts of his monologue were more mystical.
"The blade is part of you," Adolin said. "The blade is more than your tool. It is your life, respect it. It will not fail you. If you are bested, it is because you failed the sword."
Radiant stood in what felt like a very stiff pose, blade held before herself in two hands. She'd only scraped pattern on the ceiling two or three times. Fortunately, most of the rooms in Urethiru had high ceilings. Adolin gestured for her to perform a simple strike, as they'd been practicing. Radiant raised both arms, tilting the sword, then took a step forward while bringing it down. The entire angle of movement couldn't have been more than 90 degrees. Barely a strike at all. Adolin smiled.
"You're catching it. A few thousand more of those and it will start to feel natural. We'll have to work on your breathing, though."
"My breathing?"
He nodded absently.
"Adolin," Radiant said, "I assure you I have been breathing without fail my entire life."
"Yeah," he said. "That's why you're going to have to unlearn it."
"How I stand, how I think, how I breathe. I have trouble distinguishing what is actually relevant and what is part of the subculture and superstition of swordsmen."
"It's all relevant," Adolin said.
"Eating chicken before a match?"
Adolin grinned.
"Well, maybe some things are personal quirks. But the swords are part of us."
"I know mine is part of me," Radiant said, resting the blade at her side and setting her gloved safe hand on it. "I've bonded it. I suspect this is the origin of the tradition among shard bearers."
"So academic," Adolin said, shaking his head. "You need to feel this, Shallan. Live it."
That would not have been a difficult task for Shallan. Radiant, however, preferred not to feel things she hadn't considered in depth beforehand.
"Have you considered," she said, that your shard blade was once a living spren, wielded by one of the Knights Radiant? Doesn't that change how you look at it? Adolin glanced toward his blade, which he'd left summoned, strapped with the sheath, and set across her blankets.
I've always kind of known. Not that it was alive. That's silly. Swords aren't alive. I mean, I've always known there was something special about them. It's part of being a duelist, I think. We all know it.
She let the matter drop. Swordsmen, from what she'd seen, were superstitious, as were sailors, as were, well, basically everyone but scholars like Radiant and Yasna. It was curious to her how much of Adolin's rhetoric about blades and dueling reminded her of religion. How strange that these Alethi often treated their actual religion so flippantly. In Yakeved, Shallan had spent hours painting lengthy passages from the arguments. You'd speak the words out loud over and over, committing them to memory while kneeling or bowing, before finally burning the paper. The Alethi instead preferred to let the Ardents deal with the Almighty, like he was some annoying parlor guest who could be safely distracted by servants offering a particularly tasty tea. Adolin let her do some more strikes, perhaps sensing that she was growing tired of having her stance constantly adjusted. As she was swinging, he grabbed his own blade and fell in beside her, modeling the stance and the strikes. After a short time of that, she dismissed her blade, then picked up her sketchbook. She quickly flipped past the drawing of Radiant and started to sketch Adolin in his stance. She was forced to let some of Radiant bleed away. "No, stand there," Shallan said, pointing at Adolin with her charcoal. "Yes, like that." She sketched out the stance, then nodded. "Now strike, and hold the last position." He did so. By now he'd removed his jacket, standing in only shirt and trousers. She did like how that tight shirt fit him. Even Radiant would admire that. She wasn't dead, just pragmatic. She looked over the two sketches, then resummoned pattern and fell into position.
"Hey, nice," Adolin said, as Radiant performed the next few strikes. "Yeah, you've got it."
He again fell in beside her. The simple attack he'd taught her was obviously a poor test of his skills, but he executed it with precision nonetheless, then grinned and started talking about the first few lessons he'd had with Zael long ago. His blue eyes were alight, and Shallan loved seeing that glow from him, almost like stormlight. She knew that passion. She'd felt what it was to be alive with interest, to be consumed by something so fully that you lost yourself in the wonder of it. For her it was art, but watching him, she thought that the two of them weren't so different. Sharing these moments with him and drinking of his excitement felt special, intimate, even more so than their closeness had been earlier in the evening. She let herself be Shallan in some of the moments, but whenever the pain of holding the sword started to spike, whenever she really thought about what she was doing, she was able to become Radiant and avoid it. She was genuinely reluctant to see the time end, so she let it stretch into the late evening, well past when she should have called a halt. At long last, Shallan bade a tired, sweaty farewell to Adolin, and watched him trot down the strata-lined hallway outside, a spring to his step, a lamp in his hand, blade guards held on his shoulder. Shallan would have to wait another night to visit taverns and hunt for answers. She trailed back into her room, strangely contented for all that the world might be in the middle of ending. That night she slept, for once, in peace.